Welcome, everyone, to Business Growth on Purpose. My name is Jose Palomino. I'm CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and it is my great pleasure every week to be interviewing experts from around the world, owners of other B2B businesses, and sometimes just sharing some of my personal insights from decades of helping businesses grow on purpose. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Jose Palomino here, CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and your host on Business Growth on Purpose. And today, we're going to interview Donna Dubé, president of Productivity Plus. And Donna's focus is something that I think every business person should care about. Anyone who owns a business, who does any kind of marketing, advertising online, we're going to talk about how to set up dashboards and what you should be looking at, kind of how you should think about dashboards so that you can make sure that you are getting the bang for the buck for what you're investing in and what you might be expecting. You may have an agency that's telling you they have this thing covered, and that may be true, but you really want to be in a position to talk to them more intelligently, and you will be able to after listening to this episode as Donna joins us right now. Well, welcome, Donna, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Thanks, Jose. I'm so happy to be here and share with the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. So Donna, just to give our audience an immediate context, I always like to ask, what do you do and who do you do it for?
Yeah. So I'm the founder of Productivity Plus, and I help online entrepreneurs leverage the power of their data so that they can make smart database decisions moving forward. And we do that using a custom dashboard so they don't have to look at spreadsheets or have complicated math behind the scenes.
Okay. And is this mostly, I know perhaps these principles would apply to any business, but your primary focus would be people who manifest their services online?
Yes, that's correct. So coaches, service providers, consultants, those types of things.
Okay, great. So, you know, it's interesting. Our practice is mostly on people who companies that make things in the physical world, right? Manufacturers, yes. Contract manufacturers, and so on. But we do a fair amount with service providers, professional services, and so on. But even those companies that provide, that make a physical thing also have to add layers of service, some of which they're starting to think about how to monetize. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about that with you and, sure. And the things you do. So when you talk about productivity and Productivity Plus, I love that, right? It's not just productivity, it's Productivity Plus. what are some of the areas that you, when you built your company and you started thinking about how to help people, what did you see the gaps were in productivity? Because that's a broad topic that can affect everybody.
Yes, for sure. And so when I started, I was working as project manager or director of operations in online businesses. And so I was helping them ensure that the back end of the business was stable, under control, and they had a clear plan for moving forward. So their team knew what tasks and what projects were most important, and also what tasks they were supposed to be doing to meet those big goals. And so what I found is that a lot of business owners were guessing in terms of what was working and what wasn't working. Should we do more of this social media? Should we be on that channel? Is this content actually getting attention? And which product or service is actually giving me the best return on investment? And so for a lot of them, it was like throwing spaghetti at the wall. Well, I think this might work. My business bestie said that sounds good. And so I, being an operation brain, I decided, no, we got to know the facts. And so when we dig into the back end and actually look at the data, you know, the data doesn't lie. It always tells the truth. It always tells the story. And so looking at that story, we can quickly see patterns and trends, and it makes it much easier to decide, okay, yeah, this really is working. This is resonating. Let me make sure I'm using these keywords, or this product is really taking off. Let me put some more time into that. And maybe tweaking or even dropping off something that's not resonating and not bringing you that return on investment. So that's when I sort of molded and got more into the data node side of things, if you want to say.
Okay, no, that's great. And you know, what's interesting about that, I've seen companies, you know, $20, $30 million in revenue that you ask simple questions like, you know, what's the average margin by customer? You know, which customer is actually giving you more margin contribution? And they'll answer, well, it's this big customer. And I say, yeah, but you're discounting, they're pounding you every year for more and more discounting. You might not even be making money on them for all we know.
By the time you get there, yeah.
Right, exactly. So the whole idea of analyzing data is a theme I like to bring forward with clients as well, because they don't do enough of it. The P&L is a very rear view mirror perspective on what it's already 30 days or 45 days since it happened. Yeah. So the stuff you're talking has a lot more to do with maybe marketing metrics and things like that. And what I see a different problem is more often than not, smaller companies are dependent on their marketing agency, their SEO firm, mm-hmm. and so on. And if you sat through, and I'm sure you have, you sat through those monthly review meetings, and it just goes over people's heads, and it's a lot of gobbledygook, the ratio, this ratio, and there's no way to make sense of it. So how do you help people kind of, it's almost like take back control of your own data kind of, that's what it sounds like. So how do you convince somebody that they need to do that, and B, that it's doable?
Yeah. Good questions. So what I like to do is really look at it from a strategic perspective. And so I start with what their mission vision is for the company. And so way back to the foundation, but what are we doing and who are we doing it for? Mm-hmm. And once we have a clear vision, then we can set clear goals on reaching that vision. And so for the next 12 months, what goals are most important for us reaching? And then from there, we draw out which metrics we're going to have to measure to see if we're meeting those goals or not. Other metrics can be put aside for now. We focus and narrow down on what our actual goals are, because you're right, we can end up with so much data. I mean, every software tool is giving us little pieces of analytics, and it just, it's mind-boggling, right? And you don't know where to start. So we really focus in on what are your goals specific for your business, and then what metrics do we need to track so we have that measuring stick. So 1 month in, where are we? 6 months in, where are we? And then we can tweak and adjust as we're going through the year, because we know where we want to go and how far along we are in getting there. So it's really just narrowing down, I say, like 8 to 12 metrics to start with. Don't go overboard, because again, it just muddies the waters. And then once we've got a handle on those and we've started to take action based on what those metrics are saying, then we can open up the gate a little bit, but really try and keep it narrow at the beginning.
Right. So less numbers that actually maybe people understand more intuitively, and that actually they can do something about, because you're right. Some of there's so much esoteric data, and it matters at scale, right? If you're spending $100,000 a month on ads, probably does matter that you have like all those metrics figured out. But if you're doing something simpler, you need a few other more basic building blocks.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at a small firm, maybe not a scratch startup, but something that's trying to get to the next level.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you see as being most important that they get a handle on? Either specific metric, or you alluded to some of the things that they could be doing. Like, what do you see is working?
Yes. So I think it's a lot of education to begin with. And so just getting out of that mindset that these vanity metrics, first of all, matter, because they don't. They don't affect your bottom line. And by vanity metrics, I'm saying, oh, so many people liked, commented, whatever my social media post. It's good that you're getting that engagement. That's not a bad thing, but that doesn't bring dollars into the bank account. And so really trying to step away from that and say, okay, how do these metrics affect my bottom line? And really focusing on that. And so I like to have them look holistically at their business from three pillars or three areas. So marketing, obviously, because they're online and that's the big way that they draw in new customers. Finances, because you're right, just looking at the P&L alone is not enough. And many business owners aren't even looking at it, right?
Those are the ones that did. At least they're looking at it, right?
Yeah, right. And then the third is operations or team. So depending whether they're a solopreneur or they have a team, but really looking at which client activities or which team member is bringing me the biggest return on investment. And like you said earlier, am I offering so many coupons down the road that I'm not actually getting any profit out of this deal that I think is great? And so really looking at that product by product or service by service to see what is really working and what isn't. And then from there, of course, the important step is to take action. So it's great to measure the data. It's great to look at the pie charts and the graphs, but then you got to do something with it, right? And so actually taking that step forward and saying, okay, this is what the data is showing me. What can I do to improve? What can I do to tweak and make things better? And then measuring again and saying, okay, yeah, kind of like those science experiments we did way back in school, where we change a variable and then we measure again and see, how did that affect?
So there's so much out there now, and a lot of, you know, what I call the guru sphere, right? People, you know, selling their this is, you got to, if you're not on YouTube, you're nowhere. Or if you're not on Facebook, you're nowhere. If you're not on LinkedIn, it's, you know, you're going to be irrelevant. And I could see that for somebody who either A, doesn't have the skill set, or B, doesn't have the time because they're busy doing their business, just being overwhelmed by saying, and then, you know, anybody who's ever for the first time, I mean, for me, it was years ago, but getting into like AdWords or Google Analytics for the first time, you're just going like, whoa,
yes,
there's a lot here. And I have an IT background, and I still find it to be like daunting at times.
Yeah.
So how do you help somebody say, okay, you're going to hear a lot of noise about what you should be doing, but these are probably, this might be the best way to figure out what to do. I'm just curious how you would guide somebody. Because that's the essence of productivity, not wasting time on the wrong things and putting your time on the right things.
Yeah, for sure. So again, it's going back to what your business goals are and then really honing in on those metrics that we should be tracking to help you reach your goals. And like you say, the rest is noise. And so if you find when you start looking at your data that, oh, most people are coming to my website from a certain social media channel, take it a step further. Where are most people coming from that are converting? Because you want them to be taking action, right? That's the whole point of coming to your website. So are they purchasing? Are they opting into a lead magnet or booking a call with you or whatever your strategy is? You want to see, okay, which sources are people coming to and actually converting? Because that's where you have a chance to increase your revenue. And so it might be for you that most people are coming from Facebook. So that's where you want to concentrate your efforts. And don't worry about the fact that someone else is busy on LinkedIn and someone else is on Instagram, because you have your own target audience. And so you have to know where they're coming from and ensure that you're doing the most you can in that space.
And what I love about that, though, is you mentioned not only where they're coming from, but also where are they coming from that are actually converting, that are doing something you want them to do. So just a very, just my top ranking page for the last 3 years is an article I wrote years ago about the benefits of face-to-face communication. Ironic, I had to update it in light of the pandemic. It was before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Number one ranking page, probably 90% of visitors to that page are from a part of the world where I do not do business and will not do business. And I think they're all college students. Somehow it caught hold in that area.
Okay.
So I'm looking month after month. I'll say my number one ranking page is on this type of article, which isn't, you know, it's parenthetically kind of tangentially related to what I do.
Sure.
You know, good advice for an owner, benefits of face-to-face communication. But all that traffic would be a vanity. I could get excited and say, wow, I got this many thousand visitors to that page, but none of it ever converted.
No.
It just was, you know, so it really resonated when you said that looking at the, you got to look, it might be a much lesser rank page that converts is much more valuable.
Yes, exactly. That's right. And sometimes, you know, even when it comes to keywords, sometimes we think we're using certain keywords and they're attracting people, but have you actually looked at it? Because when you go in the back end and look at it, you may find there's certain keywords that you, one, didn't even think about, or two, you might have called it something different. Mm-hmm. And so you have to look, what's my target audience? What are they typing in Google to find my content? And then capitalize and optimize that so that, you know, you're really resonating with the audience that you want. So just as an example, I was working with a client who sells educational courses to healthcare workers. And so generally her target audience was people who had newly graduated from university. So they were young in the scale of age. Right. And so she was feeling, I got to be on all the social media channels because young people are everywhere. And so I challenged her and said, let's look at what the data actually shows. And same kind of thing. We found that a lot of people were coming to her website from Facebook, but they weren't converting. The people that were actually converting were coming from Instagram. And so she didn't have to worry about TikTok, YouTube, those things. She could still put content there, but that doesn't have to be her main focus, right? And it's like, okay, Facebook for my brand awareness, Instagram is where they're actually converting. And so now you can really look at your strategy, your marketing strategy, and really hone in and hit those two that really make a difference. So it was such a relief for her because she was feeling very overwhelmed and stressed. How am I going to do it all? And we can't do it all.
And that's the thing. When you just even casually reading on any of, you know, you read any, especially sites and journals and stuff that are aimed at small business owners, the entrepreneur, you know, Success Magazine, that kind of thing. You look at them and you do feel this burden to like, I have to be omni-channel, omnipresent. And I always tell people, you know, I taught a course at university, a master's course on social media strategy. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, social media, one of the things that people tout, of course, is it's relatively low cost to entry. You can get a free Facebook page, free LinkedIn page and so on, but it's massively labor intensive. It's actually more expensive than a lot of other things you can do. And you can't do it all. If you're a small business, it's really tough. Yeah. And in your example that you gave where the Instagram was the converting page, I'm sure there could be a different client where Facebook would have been the converting page. It's not one size fits all, right?
No, absolutely. That's exactly it. And so that's why you have to look at that data to actually know. And it could be that you think you're reaching a target audience of one thing, but you're actually reaching something different. Right. Wow. And so you don't know for sure until, again, you start looking.
So for somebody looking at this and hearing this and saying, okay, yeah, you're right. I got to do this. I have a Facebook page. We have a website, you know, we're doing some stuff. Yeah. Realistically, to make the needle move, is this something where somebody has to say, okay, I got to find a way to budget, you know, $200,000 this year to test these things? I imagine it's not $1.98, but you know, is there something in between that most people who are really seriously in business could think about doing realistically?
Yes, definitely. And so generally, a lot of people will be using Google Analytics. So if you don't have that hooked up, definitely hook that up onto your website and any other pages that you're using in terms of selling and marketing your products. So that will help a lot with the marketing and with the e-commerce, if you have e-commerce set up there, to give you a lot of that data. Then from there, we also want to pull some financial data, usually from your QuickBooks or some software accounting that you're using. And so that would be a really good start to make sure you have both of those hooked up and working. But again, that's just collecting data. We have to actually look at it. And so you can use a spreadsheet and manually, you know, decide what metrics you want to do and write them out or have a team member write them out. But honestly, that's not very doable long-term and also not very scalable. And so my suggestion is that you get either build yourself or get someone to build a custom dashboard for you so that you're pulling in the data from different sources for those top metrics that you want to measure. And so if you imagine it, it's like the dashboard of your car. So when you get in your car, you turn it on, you can quickly see your gas engine, your engine light, your gas level, your oil level, all those things just at a glance. And you don't have to be an auto mechanic and get under the hood.
Right.
And so the same in this case, you can have a custom dashboard, which will lay out in pie charts and graphs, those top metrics that you wanted to measure so that you can quickly see. So for example, let's say you wanted to compare your sales revenue over months and different products. And so you can have a bar chart there that will show you January, February, March, all your sales. And you can easily see the pattern and the trend. Oh, November is really down. Wonder why. Well, we didn't do X, Y, Z. Or, oh, look at April. We're like three times the other months. What did we do in April? Again, that's after the fact, but still worth looking at. And so those things really make it easy to see. It automatically updates. So you can log in and see it in real time anytime you want. You can share it with team members.
And you make a platform like that available. I mean, that's part of your practice as well. With that kind of dashboarding, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I have a VIP week where within the week, you can have that custom dashboard built with your top metrics on it. And then I do a run through to show you, you know, how it works. It's very interactive. You can change the date, you can slice and dice the data different ways. So it's much easier to look at than the back end of Google Analytics, as you were saying before, because it's very overwhelming when you try and look at that kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you're really, and frankly, if you're running a business and you say, well, I'll just learn and master that stuff. Well, no, you're not going to. You shouldn't, or else that becomes your business, right? It's a whole different thing. So that's really interesting. So just a quick question here, Donna, as we look out at, you know, what we hope will be a post-pandemic world, right? I know that's not the case everywhere on the planet, but increasingly it's becoming that, the new normal. From a marketing productivity perspective, what do you see as kind of permanent changes that we're going to be dealing with? Like, everything's not going to snap back to 2019.
True. Yes. Yes. Right. For sure. I think one of the big changes that's coming, and again, we don't have any control over, is that Google Analytics is actually changing their platform. And so generally in the past years, we've been using what's called Universal Analytics to measure that data, a lot of the marketing data. And so they're introducing a new tool called Google Analytics 4. And so I think in the long run, Jose, it's going to be much better and easier for us to use. But right now, it's still in the beta phase. Apparently, July of 2023, we will all have to be upgraded to the new Google Analytics. So it's going to have some capacity for doing AI, and it certainly measures the data a different way. And so I think long term, it's going to be easier to get data out of it and understand what that data means. So I would say my biggest tip would be install that Google Analytics 4 on your website now, even if you have the Universal Analytics there. That's okay. They can both be running and you're collecting that data so that when July of 2023 comes, you're not starting from scratch, because Google Analytics can't look backwards. It can only work from the time you set it up forward.
That's not a small piece of advice.
No, right? Wow. So if you don't set it up now, when you get to July of 2023 and they say, oh, we're switching to GA4, you won't have any data until it starts collecting data.
Right. And so you're kind of flying blind for a little while, yes. Which, you know, you could be in the middle of something very a big campaign or something. You wouldn't be able to look at the data as you mentioned.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So it's not difficult to set up. 5-10 minutes, you can have either you or a team member set it up. It's just a couple of clicks within Google Analytics to move to 4. So then you have them both collecting data. So when July comes, you've got something to look at.
Well, I appreciate that. So Donna, I appreciate everything you shared with our audience. Really some really interesting stuff here. And if somebody listening said, gee, I'd like to know more about Donna, what she's doing or how to contact her, how would they contact you?
Yeah. So I have a website dashboard, traffic dashboard, which will get you started looking at your data. And so you hook up your Google Analytics account to that, and then your data will start to show, and it'll show you things like, are people looking at my website from mobile or from desktop? You know, it can give you some demographic information. Obviously, it can't tell you the age of everyone, but it separates it in groups so you can see kind of where that is. And then also the keywords that people are using. And so that helps when you're developing your content. So that's available.
Just tell us. It's available where?
So it's available at productivityplus.thinkific.com, and then it's /website-dashboard.
So productivityplus.thinkific. So it's a
thing. Yes.
Okay.
.com.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. And people can follow that. We'll have that in the show notes, but in case somebody's just listening, I always like them to be able to hear the audible where they
for
should go.
Sure. So, yes.
That's fantastic. So Donna, thank you so much for stopping by Business Growth on Purpose. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.